Just as Josh took us back to high school, took us back to the wonderful world of debating, I'm going to take us back to high school and to one of my favourite subjects, PE. Now, I'm getting my drill sergeant voice on. I haven't got a whistle, but feel free to get up. We're going to warm up a bit, you know, jump up and down the spot, walk you on the spot, star jumps. Okay, one, two, three. Yeah, we're going to stretch the muscles, make sure they're all nice and we're all limbered up. Before we head out, okay, sit down.
Sit down.
Yep. Were you genuinely excited when I called you to get up out of your seats and do star jumps, get some of that pent-up energy out and get involved? Or, you already answered this other question, did you inwardly groan at the thought of exercising, or did you inwardly groan just as your joints and other parts of your body groaned under the pressure of being exercised? Let me ask you this, what sort of attitude, or does that attitude mirror your godliness? What sort of attitude do you have when it comes to reading the Bible, saying your prayers, meeting together with other Christians? Are you excited and enthused, or are you reluctant and do you sometimes refuse? Now, tonight as we have a look at exercise, and we're going to look at not just physical exercise, but we're going to look at spiritual exercise. Hopefully it's going to give us a chance to think a bit about why we do them, what motivates us to do them, and what the outcomes of each are. Now, in the very brief time that we have, just a very brief amount of context. So Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, so a bit of understudy. So Paul's a mentor to Timothy, and in this chapter he's been discussing and encouraging Timothy in ways that he can train himself to be godly. And which, of course, leads us to chapter 4, verse 8. Let me read it again. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So firstly, let's think for a minute about physical training, because it's pretty clear Paul's not dismissing the idea of physical training. And we know in this day and age just how valuable it is, how general fitness and well-being, whether it's going to the gym, whether it's eating well, avoiding drugs or other bad substances. We know how that's beneficial, and we see it through fitness apps, we see it through Fitbits, we see it through other things that you can wear on your wrist, on your bicep, somewhere else on your body, personal training, boot camps, a whole lot of other different things that help us to become fit, that transform us from couch potatoes into people who can run marathons, run 5K runs and the like. But for some people, the be-all and end-all of their life is a number. It may be a goal weight, to either lose weight to be there or even to gain weight through, you know, building up muscle and building up bulk. They may want to run a marathon. They may want to get to a certain weight that they can lift. Now, during Olympics, during other major sporting events, you sometimes hear of the stories of elite athletes who wake up at some hour that we would still be well and truly asleep. They get up. They do 2 or 3 hours worth of exercise, worth of training, whether it's swimming, whether it's lifting weights, whether it's running or jogging. After that, they go off, they go to school, they go to work. They do that for 8 or 9 hours, and then they get back into the training. Such is their obsession with the goal of whether it's winning a gold medal, winning a world championship or the like. Even us amateur so-called athletes may have similar habits of getting up before daybreak. I know that when I play golf, sometimes I get up, you know, an hour before the sun's risen, drive off to some golf course so I can tee off before the sun rises, or just as the sun rises, play my 18 holes and then get home and still have a fair part of the day left. But in this verse, Paul's making it pretty clear to us that there's a fitness that's worth striving for that not only has a benefit for the here and now, but a benefit for the life to come. And indeed, the pursuit of godliness is good in the present because it reminds us and it sets our minds on God, the God who created us, preserves and sustains us, and has saved us through the blood of his son Jesus. And knowing God and what he's done for us motivates us to continue to live lives to his glory. Of course, it's not just a matter of sitting there, you know, sitting in your seats, sitting at home, waiting for God to magically grow you into, you know, the perfect Christian. But we have an active role in this growth, just as putting effort in to lose that fat, build up that muscle is important. to turn yourself into a healthy person. The Christian life takes effort. In the midst of reading and meditating on His Word, praying and meeting with others, we reap the benefits of spiritual gains. And the pursuit of godliness is also important in the life to come because it focuses us on the prize of eternal life. And we know what is promised to those who trust and believe in Jesus and what He's done for us. And we can be assured that even though this life is filled with troubles, with trials and difficulties that are a lot tougher than the heartbreak hill when you're running the city to surf, perseverance, trust in Jesus, has its ultimate gain as we live forever with the Father. So in the end, if we put effort into our physical health and well-being, how much more effort should we put into our spiritual health and well-being? And not just ours, but that help that of those around us. So how do we do that? It's important that we find a healthy balance between these two different types of exercises and look at how we do both. So let's think about a few little tips and hints that might help you assess that. Firstly, who do you exercise with? Now, if you get to the gym, if you play sport with people who are non-Christians, boom, voila, a mission field. You've got a chance to share your faith with people who may desperately need to know the gospel and be saved. Be an effective witness in the way that you act. If you're at the gym, don't let your eyes wander as you see other people who might look quite, nice in their gym clothing. But if the opportunity presents itself, I encourage you to share your faith, what your goals in life are. Of course, enjoy what you're doing. Enjoy the sport. Enjoy the gym. But most importantly, remember you're an ambassador of Christ. That is your ultimate goal and your ultimate purpose in life, is to worship God and glorify Him. And if there is someone in your life who you have been praying for, that they may not be someone you exercise with or play sport with, it may be your next door neighbour, it may be someone in your family, continue to pray for them. If you haven't got someone you're actively praying for, I encourage you to grab your outline, grab a piece of paper, grab your diary or some other notebook, write their name down and commit to praying for them and focusing your witness on them. Secondly, if you're the type of person who likes to set goals for your exercise, think about how you set goals for your Christian growth and make plans. Be deliberate with your planning. Set a time during the day. Set a method that will help you to grow, just as you would if you were planning a fitness or weight loss program. You'd think about it. You'd think about your goals. You'd go through, you'd look at what you eat. You'd look at how long you need to exercise. Do the same with your personal Christian growth. And once again, a great opportunity for me to plug the Tom's Reading Plan and the bookmarks with their little boxes that you can tick as you've read each of the chapters. So the 10th of January today, so it's Matthew chapter 3. And I've ticked it off and I've had great times thinking about how God's speaking to me through those Bible readings. And I encourage you to share with those around you during supper time, during the week, how you've been encouraged and challenged. Be intentional and active in your Christian growth. Seek someone that you can get together with, to read the Bible together with, to pray with. You may even do that in the context of sport. You might go and play tennis or go and do something, some sort of physical activity, and then before or after that, go to a cafe, have a coffee, read the Bible. Thirdly, keep a record of your spiritual growth. Now, one thing I found with this Fitbit that I got for Christmas a couple of weeks ago is the app that you can download. It provides a whole lot of different features that some of the information I had never really thought of before. And even just looking at it now, it tells me what the time is. It tells me I've walked almost 5,000 steps, which isn't really a lot compared to what I would do during the week at work. It tells me the heart rate's around 84 beats per minute, which I'm still not sure whether that's healthy or not, but I've walked approximately 3.9 kilometres, and I've gone up 5 flights of stairs today. But it's a little record of just how I'm going with my slow but steady pursuit of good physical fitness. Now, I'm going to sort of act out what my Bible reading record can be like. I don't have a Bible reading record as such, but most of the time I find myself going off during the day, and then I all of a sudden think, oh, I've forgotten to read the Bible. Grab my Bible, try and feel around, try and find what the passage is. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, for example, read it, close the Bible, put it down, get back on with my time. But one thing I'm really keen to do with this, and I encourage you to be keen to do this as well, is to not just read the Bible, but wrestle with it. Once again, it's one of those fitness and activity analogies, but really wrestle with it. Take notes. Think through each part of the text as you read it, even if it's something you've heard many, many times before. Write down some things to think about and pray for the day ahead. And then at the end of the month, if you don't need to use the catch-up days, I think it's a really good opportunity for you to look back at what you've read, look back at some of the notes you've taken, look back at some of the prayer points that you've written down, and ask yourself, how are you going? Have you been praying for the people that you wrote down 2 or 3 weeks ago? Have you been living out an application point that you wrote down 1.5 weeks ago? And assess yourself whether you have the appropriate attitude that's due to a person who's growing in godliness. And finally, just as you would be very careful of what you eat, be careful of what you take in as a Christian. Because there are, just as there's junk foods and good foods, there unfortunately is some junk that Christian bookstores sell, and I should know. So if you hear about a book or a preacher who's really become popular all of a sudden, they've got best-selling books that sell by the truckload, be discerning. Read reviews, see what other people had to say, and weigh up their content against the authority of the Bible, because sadly, not everyone sticks firmly and faithfully to the Bible. So let me ask you again about your growth in godliness. Are you excited to grow? Do you have enthusiasm as you open up the Bible every day? Or are you reluctant? Or because some other things are more important, you just simply refuse? As I finish up, let me lead us in prayer that God would be our ultimate personal trainer, that through his Holy Spirit we would indeed be motivated and enthusiastic in our pursuit of godliness, and that he would lead us in our race toward the ultimate gain of the Christian faith. Let's pray. Father God, we live in a world where we can be so rushed, where we can be so focused on other things. We repent and we are sorry for the times that we fail to treat your word with the right attitude that it deserves. Help us to seek first and foremost to grow in our knowledge of you, to grow in godliness, to be examples and witnesses to those around us so that they would turn, repent and believe in you. Help us as we go forth, if we've committed to the Tom's Reading Challenge, to stick firm with that challenge. Help us to get alongside other people and not just be interested and motivated to grow ourselves, but also to be encouraging and challenging others to be growing alongside us. And we pray these things in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus. Amen.